As most of you know already, my name is Asmatullah, and I would like to welcome you all to the last meeting of MSA. Alhamdulillah, it was a very good semester. Not only because we worked hard or we had so many events, it was a successful semester because of all of your participation. A club is nothing without members. And mashallah, I'm very proud to say that MSA Baruch has very good members. I would like to encourage you all to continue this involvement with MSA, and may Allah reward your hard effort. Brothers and sisters, as you know that running a club is not an easy job. It's a responsibility. It's not the responsibility of the president, the board of the members, but it's the responsibility of all the members. Therefore, I would like to encourage to participate more and more in MSA. And that's why we have suggestion box in the MSA room. Because we need your thoughts. We need your ideas. We need your suggestions. We want to consider them and take action. MashaAllah, we held Jummah for the first time on Baruch campus. And I was amazed to see so many of brothers and sisters. And inshallah, we're thinking to hold Jummah next semester continuously. And we need your support for that. Brother and sister, I don't want to take that much time since we are already late. Finally, MSA would like to thank you all for coming, running the club, for your participation, for all your efforts. And MSA would like to wish you good luck on your final exams. And may Allah help you to achieve your scope. Thank you. And today, alhamdulillah, we have a brother. He wants to take Shahada. And I would like to invite Brother Ahmed. Please come. And may Allah bless us all. Thank you.
Just for your education and the education of other, why you want to embrace Islam?
Well, the beginning was because I have some friends who are Muslim, and I asked them questions about the religion, and I started to read the Quran, and I found the book and the religion to be a very beautiful one. So, I've been looking around for religions, and I tried other things, but when I read the Quran, like, something just hit me inside me, and I realized this is the thing for me. So, I began to go to mosques and ask friends, you know, about the religion, and fortunately, I've run into a lot of good people. They go out of their way to lend me books, to tell me about the religion, to tell me how, you know, explain to me how to do things properly. And I think I wouldn't have met so many good people if I didn't have this journey. And I think I want to officially be converted. So, inshallah.
In Islam, we say not converted but reverted, because you're going back to the roots where you belong. And also, before anybody embraces Islam, and this for education purpose with all of us, we have to remember the seven pillar of Iman. The seven pillar of Iman. What make a person a Muslim? He has to believe in sevens. Number one, the God or the Creator is one. He's not a male, he's not a female, nothing similar to him. This is the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, you believe in all messenger and prophets, including Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessing be upon him. And if the person was a Christian, you denounce Jesus is the Son of God, and you said Jesus is one of the Almighty Messenger and Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you believe in all the books and all revelation, including the last revelation, which is a book of the Holy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Quran. And you believe in angels, and you believe in paradise, you believe in hellfire, you believe in day of judgment, you believe in life after death, you believe in destiny, good and bad. If you believe in all this, without no doubt, you can enter the fold of Islam. And after that, you know, you start building your knowledge little by little and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You believe in all this without no doubt. MashaAllah. Okay, inshaAllah, to embrace Islam, very simple. And this, by the way, is a gift from Allah, is the highest gift. A highest gift Allah can give it to any human being or any creation is to allow you to recognize who is the creator and announce it in your heart. And all you have to do, I bear witness.
Yes. I bear witness.
There's no one.
There's no one.
Worthy.
Worthy.
Of worship.
Of worship.
Except.
Except.
Allah.
Allah.
And I bear witness.
And I bear witness.
Is Muhammad.
It's Muhammad.
Peace and blessing be upon him.
Peace and blessing be upon him.
He's Allah's messenger.
He's Allah's messenger.
Of Allah.
Of Allah.
Now we repeat after me in Arabic. Ashhadu.
Ashhadu.
Allah.
Allah.
إله
إله
إلا
إلا
الله
الله
وأشهد
وأشهد
أن
أن
محمدا
محمدا
رسول
رسول
الله
الله
الله أكبر
الله
الله
أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept him as a Muslim and make him inviter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to mankind. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower him with his mercy and kindness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his heart with happiness in this life and hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower him with wisdom and useful knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make him steadfast in a sirat al-mustaqim, in the right path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept him as a guider to mankind, insha'Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make him live as a Muslim, die as a Muslim, resurrected as a Muslim with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma taqabbal, Allahumma taqabbal, Allahumma taqabbal.
Takbir!
Allahu Akbar!
Let me teach you something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One scholar, his name Ibn Qayyim al-Juziyya, he talked about this and he said, if a king won't give a gift to somebody, he gives his gift hidden or in the front of an audience? In the front of an audience. Similar, nobody can embrace Islam unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted. And when Allah accepted, he gathered the angel and said, bear witness, I'm going to give my mercy to one of my creation. And whoever bear witness in a situation like that, do you think Allah, the generous one, will not shower the person with his mercy too? Bear witness, every time you are audience in the front of somebody embracing Islam, your dua is accepted. Your dua is accepted. Make a wish and dua to Allah to accept you as a Muslim and to accept you as an inviter to Allah. A duty we forget. Because everything in life, nothing happened without the will of Allah. Nothing happened without the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the mercy of Allah. Okay, because we have very short time, inshaAllah. Brother Ajmal tell me today is not a speak time, is a question and answer. Go ahead. I won't share something with you because you guys are so silent. Go ahead. But speak loud.
I'm very loud, don't worry about it.
Go ahead.
Not because it's like a loudspeaker.
Go ahead, mashallah.
Let me ask you this. This question has been coming in for like so many days. People who die in Palestine who do suicide bombing, are they really martyrs or are they the terrorists? Because what I personally think is, I know that there's this verse in the Quran like, if you find all those unbelievers, whenever you find them, you kill them. There's a verse in the Quran. But only, well, there are limitations, and in which context we have to look at it, then we have to kill them. For example, if I'm gonna fight with some other Italian gangster, right? And he's asking me for money. If I'm gonna kill them, obviously I'm not doing jihad, right? I'm killing for my self-defense. So this is not I'm fighting for the sake of Allah. I'm fighting it for myself. I think in the Palestine, same situation is going on. Those guys are fighting for their lives, not for the sake of Islam. So that's why I'm confused. I think it is according to Quran, they're killing Jews over there, but I don't think they are martyrs. What do you have to say about that?
Okay. Number one, this topic is actually a topic. If you want, I can go step by step toward it. It will take a lot of time if you win it. Number one. Because what happened is you open now too many topics. The verses of Quran you said, it has a condition. It has a time. For example, now we are living among the non-Muslim. Can we go kill them?
No.
Why?
That's true.
Because they are living with you peacefully.
Yeah.
If they're living with you peacefully, meaning you have rights and they have rights. You have obligation and they have obligation. And most of all, your obligation to live as a Muslim, behave like a Muslim, show your own Islam, and make sure you invite them towards Islam the maximum you can. Very important. Extremely important. Now, about what's going on in Palestine, I cannot explain it in a few minutes, but I can tell you something. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. All the action according to your intention. Now, we cannot go and dig about the intention of each individual. Can they are matters? Allah knows. Okay? The only thing in here today, a lot of people we do not understand. Every action any Muslim do, it reflects in the whole Islam today. By this way, if I'm a Muslim today and I fear Allah, I should worry about the way I behave to make sure what's the result of my behavior. It will benefit our Islam or it harm Islam. By this way, this topic, my brother, is a big topic, very big topic. And also, me and you cannot solve it. We only can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our heart and give us and give them basira and vision to understand what we're doing.
They're not martyrs, but they're not terrorists either. I mean, if you actually, it's very common that people just go around talking about suicide bombings, read the New York Times, and they say, oh, they're terrorists or they're martyrs. That's the whole discussion. But if you actually take the time to study the person who's died, who's done the suicide bombing, you'd find a different story. As in most of them, I mean, I read about this brother. His name is Muhammad Khalid. I think he was one of the suicide bombers last year sometime. I don't exactly remember when. His family got killed in Ramallah by a bunch of Israeli soldiers. They came into his house, shot his child up, and tore apart one of his 5-month-old baby. Raped his wife, raped his daughter, killed them both, burned the house. Allah has said that He has lifted off the pen of the people who lose their mind, as in if you have schizophrenia and you commit suicide, that's not suicide. And I think if all that was, God forbid, were to happen to any of us here, you would lose your mind. You would lose your mind.
I got your point. But
let me just tell you something.
But he's killing those people to take a revenge, not for the sake of Allah.
So exactly, not everyone is saying, not everyone in Ramallah, not everyone in Palestine is You know, just, they're not a bunch of warriors, they're humans too. I mean, not necessarily speaking that if they did not commit the suicide, they did it for this revenge.
You know, what CNN is quoting from this Egyptian scholar from Al-Azhar University, he declared all those who did suicide bombing, he called them martyrs. So they are making a big deal out of it, that the Muslims are giving them the name for martyrs. That's why I was asking the Brother Ahmed Mori, are they really martyrs or are they...
It's for Allah to decide.
Can I tell you something, my brother? This is a dilemma we have a problem with today in a Muslim Ummah. You're asking and you argue yourself. Don't do that. You do not have the knowledge and the caliber to make the decision. This has to be done by a big scholar. Not only that, certain topic in Islam has to make or get verdict by many scholars. And even then, even if the scholar said, you still go back to the intention. Only Allah can know. Why you put your nose in a topic does not belong to you? Yes, it is a dilemma in here. Yes, we are confused. But in the meantime, we have to understand and respect. It's a lot of mess of the lack of knowledge. Today, I believe the best is to start educating ourselves about Islam. We do not know Islam, my brother. This is why even our leader is so corrupt. Why? Because we are followed without even thinking. Because if we follow, if you study in Islam, the leader has one job, the follower has two. The leader has one job, the follower has two. Do you know anybody know what the job of the follower? Go ahead.
To follow and correct.
To follow and correct. But how you correct if you're ignorant? Imagine, how you correct if you just argue and you do not know nothing? We keep blaming and we won't correct. How? Instead of spending all this time of blaming, let's spend this time for learning. Maybe inshallah one day I will be sitting and have the caliber of knowledge to talk. But today we talk without even basic background. Believe me, this topic, if you want, it might take me maybe 6, 7 hours, 12 hours to explain it to you thoroughly. Not a few minutes. Because you have to go step by step. In many, many issues, according to fiqh and Quran and Sunnah, and after that, you come to another conclusion. The main thing, they are under oppression. By this way, somebody said it, I forget his name, 3 days ago in Nightline with Ted Koppel. He was the ex-ambassador of Israel in Israel. Meaning, he was the ambassador of the United States in Israel. And he said something very beautiful. He said, you guys looking to the symptom. You're not looking to the disease. All what we see is a symptom. The disease is the occupation. And the humiliation. The topic is very simple. People under stress. People have nothing to lose. People living in a very bad living. Is this right or wrong? This is another topic. Because if you are there, you have no school, you have no job, you have no life, you have no identity. Imagine if you are a young man running in the street like that, like nuts. What else left? You have nothing to lose. You have no any meaning of life. You add to that lack of knowledge. You add to that a lot of political agenda. It's a mess. Don't underestimate the situation. You see, we can talk in here when our belly is full. But when you're hungry, and when you see your family is destroyed, and your house is destroyed, and you have no future, it's very tough. You join Maghrib Salah. You went to the last rak'ah. Is this correct?
You
join the last rak'ah.
Right.
You see, once we talk about fiqh, is a lot of detail again. Do you join the rak'ah after ruku' or before ruku'?
No, at ruku'.
After ruku'?
No, before.
Make decision. Before or after?
Before
ruku',
Right.
Now you go again to another topic. Which fiqh you want the answer? Which school of thought? According to Imam Shafi'i, for example, if you reach the ruku', you already belong to Salah. Some people said no. By this way, it's different school of thought, okay? If I make ruku', okay, I join the first rak'ah. But if I lose a complete ruku', it's finished. By this way, it will not be calculated.
Let's say it is calculated.
He calculated.
Right.
Okay. By the way, before I forget, when you enter Salah, a lot of people do one major mistake also. Salah, when you do Takbirat al-Ahram, you have to be stand still with your 2 feet in the ground. I see people running to Salah. 1 foot here, Allahu Akbar, and even he didn't, you know, balance himself yet. This is very impolite, impolite with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Takbirat al-Ihram, you have to stand, calm, set your intention in your heart, Allahu Akbar. And even after that, if the people are already in ruku', after standing up, now you go and make Allahu Akbar for ruku'. Now your question is, what I'm going to do after that? Either you make 2 rak'ah or 3 rak'ah. What you going to do?
Make 2 rak'ah.
You make 2 rak'ah because you already have 1.
Right.
Okay. What is your question? What are you going to do about the 2 rak'ah?
In the 2nd rak'ah, do you sit down for tashahhud or no?
Okay. If you already sit down in tashahhud, you have 2 rak'ah left.
Right.
Okay. You finish your 2 rak'ah and you finish the last tashahhud. You see, let me tell you something. In a gathering like that, I get away from fiqh. Do you know why I get away from fiqh? Because whatever answer I said, somebody will oppose it. Why? In many fiqh, you have too many opinions. I can give you 1 opinion. Somebody said, no, it's wrong. And it will be a mess. By this way, I believe any fiqh question, ask the person, individual, the one you like. And it will be an individual level. By this way, nobody can look in the future and say, wow, astaghfirullah al-azim. It's wrong. Why he said that? We love to do that today among each other.
Another question.
Go ahead.
One non-Muslim asked me that if you do good things in the world, and you're a very good person, you help other people, you give charity and this and that, but you don't believe in Allah and His last Messenger Muhammad, mm-hmm. would you still go in Jannah?
Good question.
But he's a very good person.
Okay. You see, this topic is a very old topic. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time, he heard noise. Companion, their voice is high. And he said, why you argue? He said, Ya Rasulullah, we argue about what good people die, and they try to do good deed, but they never believe in Allah. Or the kids who die was from non-Muslim family or whatever. Or the crazy people who have mentally disturbed and they do not understand any kind of communication. Where does he go? And scholar after scholar make a big, big talk about this topic. But I can summarize it in 2 hadith. Because the best one is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One hadith is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the day of judgment, He will question them. And another report is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them to throw themselves in hellfire. If they obey Allah, they go to paradise. If they disobey Allah, they go to hellfire. Another hadith, I love it so much, and is the best answer, I believe. Is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ أَعْلَمَ بِهِمْ. The one who created them, he know what he going to do with them. Because today one of the problem, we love to go to philosophy about different situation and we forget we're not the judge. He is the judge. And also another scholar, he always says something very beautiful, I love it very much, is he used to say, وَلِلَّهِ مَعَ عِبَادِهِ شَأْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, between Him and His creation and enslaved people, He has something. What is something? We do not know. We do not know. We do not know. By this way, get away from judgment. Judgment is belong to Allah only. Keep your nose in what you belong to, you know, in your life. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يُعْنِيهِ From the best manner of a Muslim, leave what is not belong to you. Is Allah send you a letter, tell you, come on, be like a deputy and tell me what I'm going to do? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's a judge.
What's your advice for Muslim students in regard with both here in Baruch, regarding both their deen and their studies?
The question, what is the advice to a student in a college who study in an American college and he want, you know, really live as a Muslim? I tell you, honest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the highest calamity we did to ourselves, we dumb ourselves to dunya and we do not have time for deen. By this way, you are full-time student in a college, full-time working, full-time enjoying your life, and you have no time for education about Islam. How you save yourself? Give me this recipe. How? Because you know in a basic life, anything you sacrifice and you make an effort for it, you will get fruits. You work in a garden for 4 or 5 years, you will have a beautiful garden. This is why I see the majority of young people in colleges, before they finish their own or their college and start their own career, their Islam is bye-bye. Why? Because 99% of your time is dunya. And maybe 1% your time for Allah. How? How? It's a very unbalanced situation. Unless you are really honest to Allah. Don't take too much semester. Don't take too much education. Don't loaden yourself with all this, you know, project. And before you know it, you have excuses. Because you have another project that's very important to you. More than all of that. What about the project of Islam? What about the project of embracing Islam? What about the project of spreading Islam? You see, I believe today, if I'm a student, honest to Allah, I try to be a Muslim, honest Muslim, not lunatic Muslim, not bye-bye Muslim, honest Muslim, not a liar Muslim, and I go to a college, I should take the minimum. Take the minimum amount of education and spread it. Spread it, even if it costs me money and time. By this way, I have leftover time. This leftover time, with a relaxing time, I can study my Islam, I can make some activity. This now an honest person. This man has not sat. But, oh, I have to finish quick. I have to do this. I have to do that. No. I have this semester. Okay, what are you doing now? You already put all the priority in what you want. Where is Islam in the picture? With all respect to you, you are a pure liar. Because can you go to Allah if you die? Wallahi alladhi la ilaha illa huwa. Last year, in here in America, in New York, after Jummah, in NYU, a person come to me and tell me, can you please make dua for so-and-so? I said, who is so-and-so? He said, he died yesterday. He just graduated the day before, and he have his own, you know, party. He did the graduation, he have his own party, and the following day he's dead. Now imagine you spending 5 years completely saying, oh, I will do it, boom. Now you're going to Allah. Is Allah will consider you a liar or an honest? A Muslim work always for Akhirah, the hereafter. Can I delay it and say, Allah, after 10 years, I will do that for you. After 5 years, I will do this for you. After 7 years, maybe I will do this for you. Who's the Lord? You or Allah? you. Because you set your own agenda. If we listen ourselves today, we are actually did you not see the person? He make his own hawa, his own desire, his own lord. It's written in Quran, you have to finish in 4 years. You see, if you pray salah not this way or this way is a bid'ah. If you make dua after salah is a bid'ah. But you lose your deen is not a bid'ah. You lose your Islam is not a bid'ah. All you worry about a couple of things and it is a big bid'ah. It's written in Quran, you have to lose yourself and after that think about it. It's written in Quran and Sunnah, you have to be graduated from Baruch at such and such a year. Come on. By this way, today we really need honesty. We need sincerity. What is my goal in life? Imagine the brother, he embraces Islam. If you understand Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he said? He said to Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهَ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ مَا ضَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسِ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمُرِ النَّعْمِ. Oh Ali, if Allah use you to guide one person, is better than whole earth and what it contains. If I believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I believe in what he promised and what he said. Tell me, what college, what money, what job, what a man, what a woman, what any pleasure can give me equivalent to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised? This is the difference, my brother and sister in Islam, between us and the companion. The companion, they heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We listen and we obey. And today we said, سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا. We listen and we disobey. We love to hear, a speaker come, a speaker go. A speaker come, a speaker go. Event come, a event go. And my mind is the same. My mentality is the same. My heart is the same. My goal is the same. What's going on? Meaning I'm dead. I'm a liar. I'm a cheater. I do not believe in Allah. I'm telling you, I do not believe in Allah. I do not believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because who in earth can give me more what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised me? Tell me. What job can give you more than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You go nuts at night, standing in front of every bar, collecting people to make $10? I do not understand it. By this way, we need a lot of sin, a lot of ikhlas. What is my goal in life? What I'm planning to do? If I finish my education and my Islam went down, what I gain? Can I have my Islam up without no effort? How much you study Islam? How much you have activity for Islam? How much you struggle for Islam? How much you spend for Islam? And how much you do for all dunya? And before you know it, I've been in here for 24 years now. I saw a lot of Muslims. They are a bunch of liars. Once the job is done, once the graduation is done, I will not see the person. What happened? I'm looking for a job. Please, I have to find a job. I have no time for you. After they find a job, I have to do some extra semester. My new job needs this kind of degree and this kind of title. And after I meet the person after 2-3 years, I have a new job in California, but I have to do one extra semester. They will give me $20,000 more. I meet the person after 6 years. Excuse me, I have no time. I'm going to overseas. I want to get married. You see? I meet the person after 10 years. Excuse me, I have no time. I have to buy a house. I meet the person after 15 years. Excuse me, my car is no good. I have to get Lexus. You see? By this way, is a cycle has no end. By this way, if you meet a student, he tell you, wait for me until I finish my education. If you meet the one who finish education, wait for me until I get the job. If you meet the first person who gets the job, I won't get married. If you want to meet the one who get married, you won't get divorced. If you
You know, whatever, anybody, and the one who has business, he will buy another business. Tell me, if everyone have excuse, what did they tell you? When I used to travel in different countries, I discovered something. Everybody says the same word. Do you know why? The teacher is one. Who's the teacher? Shaitan. Shaitan. Shaitan is one. It doesn't matter what language, where you're coming from. The same sentence I hear from people from all over. I said, Allahu Akbar. I said, Allahu Akbar. I said, I believe you, Ya Allah. Shaitan is one. Different language, they never meet each other, same excuse. Same excuse all the time. You meet a mirror person in Arabic country, oh Allah, America, Ya Allah, America, Ya Allah, America, America. Okay, you come to America, oh Allah, green card, green card. You finish green card, oh Allah, nice money, nice money. After that, nice wife, nice husband. After that, house, Ya Allah. After that, a car, Ya Allah. After that, two car, Ya Allah. After that, stock market, Ya Allah. You know, and the cycle continues. There's no end. And if you're a female, 22 car, 22 car, 24, 24, diamond ring. And there's no end. There's no end. Where is Allah in the picture? Allah is bye-bye. Is no Allah in my agenda. This is a reality. But Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And we finish Salah. And mashallah, I'm a good Muslim. And $10 here and there, and I believe I did charity, I fast Ramadan, I do my Taraweeh, and my Taraweeh, I always say it. Muslim should they enter the Olympic. Do you know why? The fastest people can pray in earth. Allahu Akbar, bu, 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 Allahu Akbar, bu, 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 and 20 rak'ah in a split of a second. You remember in the early 70s, Bruce Lee, the fast karate, champion karate? If he come today, he will cry if he see us doing Taraweeh. He said, you guys beat me up, you too fast. Go ahead, my brother. Go. Loud, loud, Allah yaftah alayk.
I feel so scared to ask this question. But I really want to know.
Go ahead.
There is one hadith saying that the most Muhammad ibn Salam said to the pious person, he said, you worship Allah with fear and hope, and we call the prophets. Worship Allah, love, and attachment. Then, how can we fill our heart with the love of Allah? Since we know that, and we believe that every one of us is fear Allah. None, even in this room, saying that we love Allah. The word love is not gone. So, how can we fill our heart with the love of Allah instead of fear and hope?
Okay, if I get the question understood, we talk about fear of Allah. But he said, of the meaning of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said the believer is the one, he loves Allah and he has his heart full of the hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this is a condition, how I get to this level? Is correct? Speak loud.
He said to get rid of the fear that you have and fill it up with love.
Okay. You see, we're talking about now, Brother Yunus, you talk about something, this can take years. You see, if you study in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, number one, you make tawbah. When you make tawbah to Allah from your own sins, you are in a state of fear. After that, if you continue in the road toward Allah, Allah will open to you another tawbah. This another tawbah will allow you to engage in good deed. You're still in fear. After you exercise a lot of relationship between you and Allah, you will discover how Allah is so generous. Because He's so generous to you. You will remember your sins. You remember your up and down. You remember how stink you are. And all of a sudden Allah elevates you. and make you do good deed and make you belong to him, at this time you will discover another relationship between you and Allah. This relationship full of love and hope. But this love and hope do not come overnight. It needs a struggle. It needs not only dhikr and recitation of Quran, it needs good deed. Because today is not enough to do recite Quran and do good deed and that's it. We have a job to do. If me, I do not do it, you do not do it, he do not do it, who will do it? Like one scholar, he told me many years ago, he told me Islam today become like an orphan. Nobody won't take it. Even us. A neglecting orphan. Come on, do something for Allah. I have no time. Come on, let's do something for Allah. I have no time. If I have no time, you have no time, everybody have no time, who will do? By this way, today, when the time is rough, and everybody running to dunya, run toward Allah with good deed, Allah will fulfill your heart with love. Because love of Allah, it has to be... You see, when you love somebody, what you do? You do the things is a person love. Go to any girl now, and tell, I won't marry you. She said, excuse me? You love me? You said, oh, I love you. Okay, diamond ring. Now you get her $5 ring. She said, excuse me, this fake, not ring, fake love. The more you love, the more you pay. Okay? Now go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you claim you love Allah, Allah tell you, come, love me. How you love him? Do the things Allah love. What are the things Allah love? Help others. Be for others. The more you are for others, the more Allah will love you. Spread mercy. Be kind. Be generous. Have a good manner. Don't look to people down. Always look, you are the down of down. You are the down, not people. Don't blame people, blame yourself. That this time Allah will elevate you. And little by little, you see, it's a relationship. Let me tell you something today. If you study the word love among us, is a fake one. Because real love coming with relationship, with hardship. If you meet somebody and said, I love you, you are a liar. Because real love develops after time, after a struggle. It's not like, wow, I love her. I love him. Oh, he's so cute. He's so nice. He's tall. He's short. He waited this much. He have a car. He have a nice sneaker. No. You see, this is not a real love. This is a fake love. Because as soon or later, when all the person, you snatch from him all the material things. Now, uh-oh, wrong number. But it's too late. By this way, real love coming with relationship. Real love coming with relationship. The more you do activity between you and Allah, the more the love coming to your heart. It's not a talk. It's not a talk. Look to the companion, how they reach the love of Allah. When they sacrifice. Sacrifice your time, sacrifice your money. What about sacrifice your heart? My eyes look and I desire, but Allah won't desire a different desire. You see, I have desire, I have a need. But if I take this my desire and my need, I give it to Allah. Allah tell me, now you love me. You see? Very important. Look at what Allah said in Quran. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. If you claim you love Allah, follow me, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah will love you and forgive your sins. By this way, can I love Allah without Rasulullah? No way. Can I love Allah without the following of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No way. And by the way, when brother Asma told me last week about, he said, somebody said, a Muslim has no dress code. A Muslim man has no dress code. A Muslim man, he can wear whatever he like. Can you tell me that? Can anybody tell me where you get this from? Especially if you are in a non-Muslim country. How, if I meet you in the street, how I know you are a Muslim? Tell me. Imagine if everybody have their own belief and they are, have a lot of dignity to their belief. If I do not have even a minimum qulun suwa or kufi in my head, How I meet you in the street and tell you salamu alaikum? Tell me. How you going to give me salamu alaikum? Did you prepare the answer in the front of Allah? When Allah will ask you, why you do not give my your brother salam? Oh Allah, I have jeans, he have jeans. You see, I have Yankee on, he have Yankee on. Or he have Mets. Tell me. Wallahi alladhi la ilaha illa huwa. If you are an Arabic person, go read this book. Iqtida al-Sirat al-Mustaqim li-mukhalafat ashab al-Jahim by Imam Ibn Taymiyyah. If you read it, it will scare you. Iqtida al-Sirat al-Mustaqim li-mukhalafat ashab al-Jahim. And in this book, one of the pillars of a Muslim, if you're living in a non-Muslim country, one of the duty and obligation is tamiz. Tamiz meaning is to be unknown, to be shown, to be different. But today we do a lot of mischief. Go ahead, my brother.
I have a question about the food that we eat.
What?
The food that we eat.
Okay.
Are we only supposed to eat halal food, or is it like... I remember my friend, he went out with a couple of like scholars. And he went to IHOP and he saw them suddenly eating steaks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked them, why did I eat haram food? And one of the Alam, I think it was the Imam, told him that we're allowed to eat any meat from the people of the book.
Mm-hmm.
You could eat meat if it's cooked by a Jew,
mm-hmm.
a Christian, or a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So is that true, or are we just supposed to eat haram food? And like, what are the conditions that
Masha'Allah.
We can't eat haram food? Like,
okay.
If we're really, really hungry, then we
can eat Masha'Allah. You know what I like to say something, but forgive me. People from Far East or Asian, they worry about halal and haram. And they are ignorant. They have no Islam. And Arabic people have all the knowledge. And they like to eat halal and haram. And I will explain it to you. The topic in here is not haram and halal. It's taqwa, wara. Be careful. You see, if you go to a scholar today and tell him, can I eat the meat of the people of the book? He cannot tell you no. Because if he can tell you no, he will become non-Muslim. Because Allah gives you a license to eat it. But imagine if I go now in the morning and I have two eggs over with some potatoes. Look in the grill. The eggs is halal. The potatoes is halal. Look at the grill. It's full of bacon. Full of ham. And they mix it with lard. Okay, go take a turkey sandwich. The knife and a slice machine is just a slice in ham. You see? I do not know what we're doing. Where is the taqwa now? You see, you cannot say haram. Word haram is a big word. Because this means the people of the book is halal by Allah. I cannot say haram. But in reality, is a question mark. Because when you put it in practice, it's a question mark. By this way, I think you get away. And you will live without the meat. You understand me? Also, don't forget, according to the federal law, okay, now a lot of state is killing the animal similar to the Muslim. And even they put it upside down. But the problem, you have 52 states. When the big wholesaler buys the meat, he did not say, excuse me, is halal or not? Or is slaughter similar to the Muslim or not? You have a lot of people bringing meat from different places. But when they cut it, even if it has a slice of a fat from pork, what are you going to do? You see, once we start, you know, releasing little by little of our taqwa, wonder what happened to us. We mix in our belly halal and haram. And I saw it in my life in here. The more you eat halal and haram, the more you will be veiled. Wallahi, I see it. The person is so veiled, you cannot believe it. It's big difference between committing sins and living with sins. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنَبِتَ جَسَدُهُ مِنْ حَرَامٍ فَالنَّارُ مَثْوًا لَهُ. Whoever his body lived with haram, the hellfire is his place. is many a hadith about that. Whoever have a drop of a haram food, his dua is not accepted for 40 days. Is this a tiny topic? If you really believe in Allah and you want to make dua, is this a tiny topic? Oh, give me a hamburger. Hey, don't worry about it. Bismillah and eat. Without mentioning name of certain people in the country. Wallahi, they eat pork more than lambs. Wallahi, I see many people, Arabic people, eat more pork than lambs. I swear by Allah. I will not mention where they come from. And they say Bismillah. What this teach me? In Ramadan, somebody invite me and he's cooking pork. In Ramadan. I tell him, what is it? He tell me it's cheap, it's nice. Say Bismillah. In Ramadan. This how much when the person is releasing his taqwa. Wallahi, if you look at any grill today, in the morning time, and you see what going on in the grill, if you have a dot of iman, you will never touch one eggs. Look at the grills. Full of what? Oh, it's nice. You see? Look at the mentality of the people. Where's Allah in the picture? Allah is Ghafur Rahim. Eat. Don't make it too much. You know? Come on. Let's hurry up. Burger, no burger, place, no place. By this way, the topic is not halal and haram. It's a mix. It's so mix. And in the meantime, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow you. His halal is available. And you have vegetables, you have fruit. You're not going to lose weight. And even if you lose weight, it's good for you. The only Muslim is gaining weight. And we're complaining. Fish is good. But even when you eat fish, remember, the fryer have everything in it. By federal law, if I said 100% pure shortening, is not meaning 100% shortening. Go study. By federal law, you can set 100% pure shortening and containing 15% to 20% lard and others. Lard. You know what is lard? The fat of the pigs. Even Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' Donuts, the majority is halal. But if the people are stealing, they put something else. Finish at 2:15. Go ahead. Let me ask you a question. You got talk. Okay. You're a man. Okay. Come on, give me a talk.
Something is bothering me for last couple of months.
I cannot hear you.
Something is bothering me for last couple of months.
Okay.
Actually, I went to the 96 Street Mosque a couple of months back. I said in Manhattan.
Okay.
There, one of the scholars gets from Saudi Arabia. He said that following madhab is extremely important. Those who
say it again.
Following madhab is extremely important. So my question is, Allah says in the Quran that يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ صَفًّا كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْصُوصٌ. My question is, when Allah is saying that He loves those people who struggle in the way of Allah with unity, if you look at the Muslim world, we will figure out that madhab, following madhab, is creating anarchy, is creating, they are fighting with each other.
Who said that?
It is.
No, wait. How old are you?
25.
How much?
25.
25. Please learn something in Islam. Don't talk about something you're not sure about.
Okay.
Give me a fight happen in a recent history, in a past history between two madhab. Give me one. Give me a story of two people fighting, two Muslims, because the madhab is different.
Okay.
The school of thought.
I can give an example from my country.
Okay, go ahead. What is your country?
In Bangladesh, every single month, the follower of Shafi Mazhab,
okay,
the follower of Hanafi Mazhab, they fight with each other.
Okay. Now, let me tell you something. Today, if you ask me, the problem is not the school of thought. The school is today we are ignorant. We have no Islam. The one who said we do not have a school of thought, they are more bye-bye. Why? Because they follow their own desire. They have no scholar in their life. There's another thing. The one who said, I belong to a madhab, they have nothing. Because they follow culture and custom. By this way, we're all in one boat of ignorant. Now, when a scholar, he says that, you have to go back to the early scholar and what they say. And you have to respect it. This part of our Islam. If you want, I can give you the story of the school of thought, but it will not take 5 minutes. Okay, I will tell you the fatwa of the early scholar in Islam, not my fatwa. Because who am I? I'm nobody. The early scholar agreed. If you are ordinary Muslim, you're not in a high-level learned person. You have to have a sheikh learning with him. And once you have a sheikh, you learn from him. Just follow anyone. Don't forget, if you follow any school of thought right way, you will never have any mess. The mess you see in your country has nothing to do with the school of thought. It's to do with our ignorance and tribalism. Okay?
Think about the Wahhabis. Think about the Wahhabism also. So, some people believe that Wahhabism is a new madhab.
You see, this is another... So, we are in the end of time, my brother.
Scholar.
What's that?
So the guy who created the Wahhabism, he's not a scholar. So if we...
Put it this way, don't forget, Wahhabi is not really a school of thought. Is an ideology. An ideology in the beginning was right and drift like anything else in the last recent years. All the groups of the Muslim today, if you ask me, all of them drifter. Because if we're not drifter, we're not going this way. We're going this way. We're not going this way. If we're going this way, we are on the right track. If we're going this way, something is wrong. Do you know what Rasulullah said? You see, I believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, my ummah, لا تختلف مع أمتي على سنتي. My ummah will never be divided into my ummah or my sunnah.
Then why
if you see any division, you have to understand what happened. We create division. What about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, in the end of time, my ummah will be divided into 73 sects. Every group today, every person said, this is me. Ask anybody who said it's me. I'm the one belong to the group who's becoming Al-Furqa al-Najiyya.
So how will you decide who is a good Muslim?
MashaAllah, go study, my brother. Instead of talk, go study. And you see what happened after you study, you have to do something else. What is the big deal even after you study if you do not follow?
If everybody does something else...
What do you mean?
If everybody does something else... And more division will
can I tell you something? This is my belief today. You won't save your neck? Follow Quran and Sunnah. Don't label yourself any label and do. And have sincerity in what you're doing. Don't label. Don't label at all. Even if you follow any school of thought, don't label. Because don't forget, the school of thought or any another school of thought, it has to do with different branches in the fiqh. It's between me and Allah. Why I have to talk about it? Why have to push it in your throat? We're causing division by our ignorance. By the way, we have only 5 minutes.
Can I ask you one?
Because this topic really honest to Allah, I will tell you something honest to Allah. We commit mischief to Islam. You know why? We're coming in a topic. This topic is one of the major topics of the end of the ummah. And we want to fix it in 5 minutes. Can we fix it in 5 minutes? Do you know I talk about this topic in 11 tapes? Each tape is almost 2 hours, and I did not finish it. But today we ask the person a question, and we want the answer completely in a few minutes. Olympic again. Please, I'm serious. Sorry, if you're really serious about this topic and you said it aching you, first I will give you advice quick. Go to somebody you trust. Sit down with a person. Give him your question. And spend the time until he gives you the answer. But we go to every speaker come, and we hit him with a question, and every speaker come, give you his own opinion, and before you know it, a lot of mess. I have three. Go ahead, quick.
Okay. In my country, most of the time, like, those who are scholars, they get, most of the time, Hanafis.
Give me the topic. We have a few minutes. Give me the topic. So in your country, you have a dog debate.
Okay.
What is the topic?
So my question is, because when the scholar, they are insisting their student to follow a particular madhab.
Yeah.
Just follow this one, don't follow that one.
Okay.
So isn't it that the scholar themselves, they are creating deviation?
No. What happened is, from a scholar point of view, you cannot study all the madhab in one time. You study one at a time. Okay? What happened is today, we're not willing even to give some time to the scholar. And you said it by yourself. Our scholar is divided. Because if our scholar is not divided, will not be our condition. You see? We do not have Ijma' al-Ummah today. We do not have it. Every group has their own scholar, and that's it. Go ahead.
Okay, I know if you take a loan, you're not supposed to take it on interest. But sometimes you don't have any money and you have to do something. For that you need money and you have to take a loan on interest. So what does Islam have to say about that?
Is mandatory, is life and death?
Yes.
Is life and death?
No, it's not life and death.
Okay, finish.
you understand my question.
I understand your question.
But sometimes you don't have money. You have
really and you want to make a business. You want to increase your business. You want to gain weight. You want to get a new car. You know? Ask yourself, what is the intention? And let me give you something for Allah. Wallahi, I'm going to tell you. What we're doing today is a mischief. You see, you cannot ask me question, and next week you will ask somebody else, next month you will ask somebody else, and everybody is giving different opinions. Go to somebody you trust, seek his opinion, finish it. And keep it to yourself. Can I oppose it in you? No. If everybody become like that and we start learning, we'll come together and no problem at all.
I know the time is very brief. I just wondering if you could breeze through some of the signs of the last hour to the final hour.
The last sign of the last hour. We are in the last 5 minutes of the last hour. Believe it or not, we are in it. If you ask any fearful scholar, we are in it. We are in it, my brother. All the signs are already there. Let me give you something, I believe it was no doubt. One of the main signs, Muslim will be sleepy. And the heart will be dead. And they have no Islam. And this is our condition. We are big tongue for nothing. Big tongue for nothing. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that. Let me tell you a quick report from Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. It is not hadith, it is a report, a riwayah from Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said something so beautiful. And if you understand this report, it will benefit you a lot. If you do not understand it, nothing will benefit you. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent wisdom in the heart of whom He wants. He sent wisdom in the heart of whom He wants. But He will not put it in the heart of a person who has four. Allah will not give wisdom to a person who has four. Listen to the four. And another report is five. Number one, if the person... Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Loving dunya. Number one, if the person loves dunya, wisdom will never reach his heart. Number two, if the person worry about tomorrow, it will never reach his heart. Number three, if the person look to another person with envy, hasad, it will never reach his heart. Number four, it is reported in different report, if you have no adab, no manner, it will never reach his heart. And another one, tuwul al-amal, long hope. These four, if you have some of them in your heart, you will never have wisdom. If you have no wisdom, you will never have basira, vision. If you have no basira, you have no nur, light. If you have no nur, you have no guidance. If you have no guidance, you are bye-bye. You understand me? Even if you are a Muslim. Because in the end of time, Allah blind whom He wants. Why? Because we're neglecting the message. Today, if we talk about all this topic, but we're not doing any activity for Allah, tell me, what is that? Is this a lie or no? If we talk and argue, and once we leave, we go back like we never listened to anything. Tell me. If you believe in something, you make an effort. Today, really, you want to see a good Muslim? See the new Muslim when they embrace Islam. They are a good Muslim. They are honest Muslim. They are really a Muslim. Do you know why? They submit. Today we are argue. Huge difference between the one who argue and submit. They submit. Even if they commit sins, they commit it without no knowledge. But we are, mashallah, big tongue for nothing, wallahi. Wallahi, I'm saying to Allah, we are big tongue for nothing. We love to argue. We love to cause mischief, but we're not loving to do good deed. Is this a quality of a Muslim, or is it a quality of a hypocrite, or shaitan? A Muslim has a quality. The hypocrite has a quality, and the disbeliever has a quality. Ask yourself which quality you have. Ask yourself which quality you have. Can I depend on you? Can you keep your word? I see in MSA people argue, but nobody do. And there are always the person who argue is the first one to run away. He argue, make mischief and run away. And when you need him, he's not there. What kind of man is that? He's not a man. He's not a Muslim. Because a Muslim is a man you can depend on him. He talk less, he do more. And the time is up. This is the sign of the Day of Judgment. I'm serious. One of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said of the meaning of, in the end of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yatwi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-waqta tayya, ka tayya as-sijil lil-kutub. The time will be rotated so quick. The year like a month, the month like a week like a day like an hour like a minute. And today ask a Muslim or non-Muslim, he tell you, time like shayateen, like devil. You know, think is running out. No barakah. Barakah will be lifted. The fear of Allah will be lifted. Mischief will increase. And what more mischief than me and you argue with each other and Islam is going down? Tell me, what mischief more than that? If all of us follow all kind of school of thought and all kind of thing, but we are together in a goal, we are a winner. Today we are talking about branches. I'm not talking about the goal. Focus on your goal and building your own iman and yaqeen. There's no time because we have to leave. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Jazakumullah khair. MashaAllah.